Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us. Appreciate each of you who are joining us online. I mentioned this at the beginning of the service. We had a couple of technical issues early on, so if for some reason the stream goes down, be patient. It'll be back up in a minute or two. We're also recording this, and we'll post a link to the recording later today as well. Well, God bless you. Obviously, with all that's going on in our nation right now, we are just trying to make adjustments and serve our congregation and our community in the best possible way. If you have children, hopefully you've already started to watch the Kids Church program that we've provided for you. We have links to that on social media, on our Facebook page, in our Facebook group. It's uploaded to YouTube if you can find us there, or you can visit Bethalto.church under the What's Happening area. You'll find that video located there as well. I trust that'll be a great experience for your family, but for your kids in particular. With all of the different events that have been going on with COVID-19, our church has made the decision to suspend and postpone all of our regular gatherings for the next at least 2 weeks. We're going to be evaluating. We're going to be listening to what our governing authorities are telling us to do as well. But that means that tonight our annual meeting will be postponed. Wednesday night events will be postponed as well. I think we're going to be uploading some teaching for you on Wednesdays to keep you kind of just connected in some ways. So please, during this time, if you need anything, if you have questions or concerns, please be in contact with us here at the church. You can email us, use the contact form at bethalto.church, or you can call the church office, and we'll do our part to help you and whatever we can to serve you during this time. So again, we'll keep you updated regarding our Sundays coming up. We will probably stream next week's service as well, and again, we'll just kind of see how things proceed from there. I want to remind you, just because you're not here, you are able to give if you go to bethaltochurch.com/give, or you can go to bethalto.church and hit the Give tab there, and you can give online. You can mail things in as well. We appreciate your help during this time, as obviously things are just a little bit different around here at the church. COVID-19 has been overwhelming our news and our social media feeds over the last several days, and it's causing some disruptions, obviously, our service today. This is really a surreal and a very unprecedented time in our history, and because of that, there's a great deal of fear and anxiety. And as I was praying about our service today, you know, we had a guest speaker, Grant Wyatt was going to share with us, and I just was praying about it, and I thought, you know, let's shift some things here. And I was thinking about Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is perhaps one of the most famous passages in the Bible. I think it was either this morning or last night, I can't remember, I was reading something online, and someone used some language from Psalm 23. It's really pervasive in a variety of different areas in our culture. Psalm 23, I think, is so profound to us because we find a description of God's relationship to us. It starts very simply by just talking about how God is close to us. It says this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, throughout the Bible, we are given a variety of different descriptions of what God is like and his character. Each of these different descriptions or titles give us a different facet of who God is and what he's like. So, for instance, he's called a mighty warrior. He's called a king. Sometimes he's called a prince. He's called our creator and our maker. He's also described as things like a tower and a fortress, or a rock, and there are many different aspects of this that he is described as in the scriptures, and it's like he's like a beautiful gemstone that you can appreciate from one angle, but the more you turn it and the more you look at it, the more you recognize that It's endless in his beauty and the description of who he is. With that said, the most meaningful descriptions of God, however, are the ones that describe his relationship to us. He's called Father. He's called Friend. In one book of the Bible, he's extensively described as our Lover. He's described as Savior. And in Psalm 23, we see one of these kinds of descriptions, this kind of second category of relational descriptions. He's called a shepherd. Scholar Derek Kidner puts it this way. It says, in the word shepherd, David, who's writing this psalm, David uses the most comprehensive and intimate metaphor yet encountered in the Psalms. David prefers usually to use the more distant king or deliverer or the impersonal rock, shield, etc., whereas shepherd lives with his flock and is everything to it. The shepherd is the guide, physician, and protector. So, in other words, the sheep and the shepherd are bound together in relationship. To this day, in places where shepherding occurs, like in the Middle East, shepherds will often find themselves meeting with other shepherds along the road, and their flocks of sheep will intermingle. I've heard stories from friends who have seen this happen, where these shepherds will be talking, the sheep will be intermingling, and then as they leave, the shepherds will call out to their sheep, and the flock immediately divides into the appropriate flocks and follows their shepherd. Why? Because they know the shepherd's voice, because the shepherd has drawn close and developed that kind of relationship with his sheep. And I think today, when we consider shepherding, we might think of that as remedial work or just something to take care of some animals or something. But in the ancient world, this was an absolutely vital part of the community. They lived in a day where sheep were used for sacrifices, and those sacrifices needed to be pure and spotless. And who made that happen? It was the shepherds. The shepherds were the ones that cared for the sheep and protected them and inspected them. It involved them getting close to those sheep and caring for them and knowing them. And that made a shepherd's job a difficult one. It wasn't easy. They had to make sure that these lambs grew and were ready for sacrifice. And right here at the beginning of our psalm, we see God being described as a shepherd. So what does that say about him and our relationship with him? It says that he watches over us. It says that he cares for us and he protects us. It says that he examines us. I want us to remember today, in the midst of all the things that we're experiencing, that God is good and he's close to us. He's not far away. He wants to keep us safe and he wants to lead us through our lives. But it's not just that God is close. We also see in this psalm that God provides for us. Look at the rest of verse 1 into verse 3. It says, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. David says that because the Lord is his shepherd, he has everything he needs. He lacks nothing. And I just wonder if David were alive today, if he would say that, if that would include toilet paper or not. I don't know. Maybe it would. Maybe not. I don't know. But a good shepherd provides for his sheep. And what we see here is that he's providing for the essentials. He's providing food and water and rest. And what I love about this church is that God's gifts are not an afterthought. He gives us his best. He doesn't just give us pastures, but he gives us green pastures. He doesn't just lead us to a puddle of muddy water, but he leads us by still waters that allow us to be able to drink in safety and in calm. You know, I know that there's been quite a bit of panic over the last couple of days about toilet paper and supplies and food and grocery stores being out of stock, and maybe you've gone to the store to pick up some Clorox wipes or some hand sanitizer or some food items, and maybe when you got there, they had that item, and you were able to get it and, you know, keep it under your arm and get to the counter and pay for it and get it in your car. And maybe when you did that, you kind of just had this moment where you had a sigh of relief, where you just were like, okay, I've got it. And then you just went home with maybe a little bit less stress. You had a little bit more peace. You could rest a little bit more. That's sort of like what is being talked about here. The provision that God gives to us is the kind of provision that removes our worries and our fears. He refreshes and restores our soul. Notice that by providing what we need physically, ultimately what God is providing for us is for our internal, emotional, mental, and spiritual needs as well. You know, everybody's stressed right now because of this virus and what's going on in our world. And as church, as followers of Jesus, as people who are sheep in the care of the good shepherd, church, let's look to his provision. Let's find rest in him and not in the things that we're hearing on the news. God provides for his people. And so let's look to him for what we need. What do you need? What are you longing for? Jesus is the answer, and he is the supply that you need. So not only does God come to us and he come close to us and provide for us, but he also directs us. It says this, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. I have two boys, they're teenagers now, but when they were little, going from place to place, like leaving the house was a very difficult task. Because, you know, at that age, it's getting their shoes on. First, it's finding their shoes, and then it's getting their shoes on. And, of course, they're very independent, and they want to get their shoes on themselves. So the tongue of the shoe goes in. You got to fix that. And then maybe the heel goes down. And then they insist on trying to tie their shoe, and that takes, you know, another several minutes. It's like herding cats trying to get them to go anywhere. And I thought that as they got older, and as the dexterity in their fingers and their ability to get their shoes on and their shoes tied, I thought that that would be a little bit easier. But now I find that they're just independent in all sorts of new ways, and getting them out of the house is still a challenge. See, church, in this life, you and I, we're all going somewhere. We're either leading our own life independently, or we are being led by the Good Shepherd. And our path that we take when we live independently, that path leads to disappointment. It leads to brokenness. But the Good Shepherd's path, his way, is the right path. You see, the shepherd knows the best path that's going to get his sheep where he is taking them. And church, I need this kind of direction in my life. And I know that you do too, especially in uncertain times like we're experiencing right now. We need to remember that the Good Shepherd knows the way, and we can look to him. Now, notice this phrase that's here. It says, for his name's sake. You see, the purpose of our life is not to live for our own name's sake. It's not to make a name for ourselves. Church, the purpose of our lives is to give glory to Jesus. It's to live for his name's sake. So although Jesus does lead us along the right path, that path isn't right because of our definition of right. It's not based on what we think. It's the right path based on his determination of the path. And as we're going to see in this next verse here, sometimes that path is hard. So God comes close to us, he provides for us, he directs us, and next we see here that he comforts us in verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, we just said that the Good Shepherd leads us along the right path. And here, just after that, the psalmist says he's walking through the darkest valley. Church, sometimes the darkest valley is the right path. Sometimes we go through circumstances that are difficult, that are no fault of our own. Again, look at our situation today. We're making these adjustments to our services. The people, you know, businesses are shutting down. Things are changing because of a virus that has this potential to be very, very deadly. And I don't know why God has led us down this path to experience this. I don't know why he's allowing us to walk through these circumstances. He has a purpose that I don't see, and he knows what I don't know. But all I do know is that I trust him to be able to redeem these circumstances for his glory. For some reason, this dark path is the right path for us, and we have a choice now. We can respond in a variety of different ways, but look at how the psalmist responds. He says he will fear no evil. Church, as we face these uncertain times, as we deal with anxiety and concern, church, we need to be fearless. I heard someone say this week that we need to turn our fear into focus. And man, I really love this phrase. I love this idea of turning our fear into focus. Church, when you are afraid, focus on Jesus. When you are having anxiety and worry, look to the Good Shepherd who's leading us down the path. When you are afraid, remember that Jesus is with you. We're not alone. Throughout my life, there have been a variety of verses in the scriptures that have given me comfort and peace. But one of them in particular is Psalm 16:8. It says, I have set the Lord before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. In church, when we deal with trying and difficult times and uncertain circumstances, let's turn our fear and our worry into focus. Let's look to Jesus, who's close to us, who's providing us, who's guiding us, providing for us and guiding us. Let's look to him for the comfort that we need. Church, we don't have to be afraid because the shepherd is with us to protect us, but also because he has the tools necessary to do the job. The rod and the staff that the shepherd had, those were tools that a fully equipped shepherd would have in those days. The rod was used to fend off wild animals, and the staff was used to guide the sheep. And this is a picture of a shepherd who's fully equipped to do his job. And church, our good shepherd, Jesus, is fully equipped to do the job that that he is in the position to do of leading us and caring for us. I love the phrase in this verse, even though, because there's such a confidence here, isn't there? The psalmist has an absolute confidence and trust that the Lord will provide. Even though, church, we're walking through a dark valley now, and we can cower in fear, and we can say, what if? We can run and hide, and we can say, how will we make it? Or we can be led by Jesus and say, even though we're walking through this, we trust you. Even though we're walking through these difficult circumstances, I will not fear because I'm looking to you for your strength and for your comfort. We have a promise that he is with us. We aren't alone. And that gives us confidence to turn our fear into focus, and we can then move forward in faith as we follow after him. So what happens at the end of this psalm is that the focus, or the metaphor rather, shifts. It moves from focusing on a shepherd to a banquet table. It says this in verse 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this metaphor shifts here, and we go from the shepherd idea to a king at a banqueting table, and it's really a picture of like a victorious banquet where the enemy is there. And it's one thing to survive the threat of the valley, but church, it's another thing to experience the victory at the table. This psalm is taking us on a journey that mirrors the life of the one who's writing it. David is one of the most famous people that we find in the scriptures. He was a shepherd first in his life, and so it makes sense that he would start this psalm by talking about shepherding. He knew what it took to care for a flock, and he expresses that, and he understands that that's God's relationship to us. But then later on in life, David became king, and he knew what it was like to have a banquet table, and he knew what it was like to be victorious and to become king, and he knew the life-giving power of inviting someone to the table. In fact, David does just this in his life. So in those days, when a king took the throne, one of the things that they would do is they would wipe out any trace of the former king's family in order to secure the throne. But David doesn't do this. Instead, when David takes the throne, we see him doing something quite opposite. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, David asks if there's anyone else from the former king's house that's still alive. And he's told about a young man named Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth is the grandson of the previous king. His feet were crippled by an accident at birth, so he has some social stigma because of that. But then on top of that, he's kind of like public enemy number one right now because there's a new king. And so David calls Mephibosheth to come to the court to visit with him. And ordinarily, this would be a death sentence. The expectation would be that the king would want to kill him. But instead, look at what happens in verse 7. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore you to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." So David delivers this man, he protects him, he treats him like he is a part of his own family. This is an extraordinary act of kindness. David and Mephibosheth, they should have been enemies. But by bringing him to the table, David offers peace and a restored relationship. And church, this is what Jesus does for us. Because of our sin and because of the way that we so often choose to go astray, we have made ourselves enemies of God. Jesus, like David was, but even more so, Jesus is the rightful king. And we are broken, and we are flawed, and we are rebels against the Father because of our sin. But instead of shunning us or getting rid of us, Jesus invites us in to the victory celebration. He gives us a seat at his table. And church, that is what is offered to anyone who enters into relationship with him. This is the goodness and the love that David is talking about. You know, this kind of goodness and love, the kind that's so selfless, the kind that's so sacrificial, the kind that just even welcomes someone who should be an enemy, this is rare in our world. We might see it from place to place, from time to time, but it's fleeting. The psalm here teaches us that ultimate or the lasting source of goodness and love occurs when we are in relationship with God. So if you want to find real satisfaction, real acceptance, turn to your Creator. Turn to the one who invites you in and sent his Son to redeem you and to rescue you. The promise then is that we have an eternal relationship with God. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And church, this is what separates Christians apart from others. Christianity isn't just about being moral. It's not about getting people to do religious duties. Christianity is about this kind of hope. It's about having the hope that death isn't the end for us. It's the hope that Jesus did actually die and he did actually rise again to new life. It's the hope that because Jesus rose, we too will experience that resurrection as well. I mentioned that scholar, Derek Kidner. He talks about this again. He says, in the Old Testament world, to eat or to drink at someone's table created a bond of mutual loyalty and could be the culminating token of a covenant. So in other words, to be God's guest is to be more than an acquaintance invited for a day. It is to live with him. And church, that's the hope that this psalm is giving to us. He's near to us. He provides for us. He's guiding us. He's comforting us. And he's delivering us. He's giving us victory. He's providing us with life and with hope. And so I want to encourage you today, in the midst of all the craziness we're experiencing, to put your trust and your hope in Jesus and to experience what it means to have a relationship with him. There's hope for new life and resurrection, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Church, this week, I want to encourage you to pray through Psalm 23. Just later this afternoon in our Facebook group and on Bethalto.church, I'm going to be posting a prayer guide that you can use that'll just give you some questions and some prayer points that you can go through as you are going through this week in the midst of all that we're experiencing. You know, this coronavirus thing may have us experiencing more dark valleys than green pastures, but remember, God is near you. He has an open invitation for you to join him at his table, and you might not feel worthy, you may not understand why God would accept you, but this psalm reminds us that it's the Good Shepherd who leads us. I want to finish today with a quote from N.T. Wright, who is, this is from a Lent journal that he has, a Lenten journal. And this powerfully, I think, communicates this idea here. It says this, "And now many generations of Christians have prayed the psalm," Psalm 23, "have prayed the psalm in the same way, in light of the many passages where Jesus picks up the shepherd promise and applies it to himself. In fact, the gospel story is not unlike the picture of the shepherd and the sheep, Jesus leading his disciples around Galilee, teaching them, healing people as he goes. And as the story moves us forward towards the valley of the shadow of death, we look on in awe and wonder as the good shepherd goes ahead of us into the darkness. His rod and his staff, two poles of wood, come together in a new pattern, a shape of which will etch itself on the heart of the world. We look at the cross and we are comforted." And church, today, through whatever circumstances you're experiencing, through whatever worry or fear or anxiety, I want to encourage you today to look to the cross this week. This week, church, let's look to the shepherd who went ahead of us into the valley of death and came out on the other side victorious. Would you join with me in a word of prayer? God, today we put our trust in you. And God, we are so moved by your love and your compassion and the fact that you draw near to us and you care for us, you lead us, you deliver us. It's not just that you provide, but ultimately, God, you give us salvation and victory. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us a greater perspective in the midst of these overwhelming times, that we would see you as our good shepherd. And though we walk through a dark valley, God, you are with us, even though we see that we put our trust in you. Even though the world seems in many ways to have gone mad, we will put our trust in you and we will find our hope in you. God, this week as we pray this psalm, this week as we look to you, the great shepherd, the good shepherd who went ahead of us into the valley of death, God, help us to recognize that you came out on the other side victorious. And may that give us hope as well to come out on the other side victorious, to put our trust in you, to put our confidence in you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're online and you're watching and you are in a position where you want to make a decision to follow after Jesus, I'd encourage you. There might be even a way, if you're watching live, you can click kind of to raise your hand or to chat. I think someone's in there monitoring that. We've got people that are there to pray with you. Otherwise, go to bethalto.church and go to the next steps area. I want to encourage you to respond. Let us know how the Lord is speaking to you today. Our worship team is going to just lead us in a couple more songs. I'd encourage you to worship with us and reflect on how we can look to the shepherd this week and experience his goodness and his love and his mercy. Worship team, would you lead us?